Jimi Hendrix was not quite 28 years old when he died in September of 1970, but the man born Johnny Allen Hendrix spent only the last few years of his life as the colorful, boundary-bursting guitarist known to the world as Jimi. It was a persona that eventually emerged after years of dues-paying. Those early chapters in his life, beginning with a fairly bleak childhood in Seattle, are detailed in the new biography Becoming Jimi Hendrix, co-authored by Novato writer Stephen Robey.
We focus for a while in Seattle in almost a Dickensian lifestyle that Jimi had to endure. Poverty, alcoholic parents, abusive parents. And we take this young man who's arrested twice for joyriding and comes up before a judge. And the judge says, young man, do you want to spend the next 2 years of your life in jail, or do you want to get it together and sign up for the Army? And Jimi signs up for the Army, and our story kind of starts there.
That forced decision sent Jimi to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where he was soon discharged for unsuitability. Whereupon, he began hiring on with local touring bands, gradually working his way up to backing stars like Curtis Mayfield, the Isley Brothers, Little Richard, and Sam Cooke. But Robey says the sideman role was never a good fit.
Jimi would often have arguments with him about the way he wanted to dress, the way he wanted to play guitar. And if you recall at that time, things were very regimented. There were no amazing guitar solos in R&B songs back then. It was strictly a driving rhythm. And when Jimi wanted to break out of the strict band member dress code, he was fined and eventually fired. And that happened especially with Little Richard, who one day looked over during a concert and noticed the spotlight wasn't on him anymore. It was on his lead guitar player, Jimi Hendrix.
Eventually, the perpetually broke young guitarist gravitated to New York. But despite his admiration for the rhythm and blues scene uptown in Harlem, Hendrix's rock and roll inclinations didn't fit there. Instead, Robey says, Jimi began to find an outlet and his own full musical voice in Greenwich Village.
He got down to a tiny Greenwich Village nightclub called the Café Wa and just let loose all these years of being pent up, having to play regimented guitar solos behind the Isley Brothers and Little Richard and countless other bar bands. He cut loose and soon was discovered by Animals bass player Chas Chandler and brought him over to England. And within a couple of weeks, he had put together a band, had a girlfriend, and began to challenge guitar gods at the time like Eric Clapton.
This is the point at which the innovative guitar star burst into the public eye. The Jimi Hendrix Experience was formed and released their first breakout record, and soon thereafter played the Monterey Pop Festival, where Jimi astonished the crowd by setting fire to his instrument to end his set. But Robey says that was an old trick Hendrix had long been using.
Jimi burned his first guitar 3 years before the Monterey Pop Festival. In fact, Bobby Womack noted that Jimi would light his guitar on fire at several of these concerts on the Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson tour. And it got to the point where the guitar, in Bobby Womack's own words, looked like a piece of barbecue. Jimi would light it on fire, get a blanket from backstage, and then smother it, and then put it together to play for another gig coming up.
Had he lived, Jimi Hendrix would have had his 69th birthday last month. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.